Thank you, brother. I hope you'll especially take heart to some of those words that we heard Rick sing. My sins have been washed away. All of those places that are broken are gone. You've heard me talk about the past couple of weeks about our need to go back and to remember the stories that God has done. The things that God has done not only in our life, but also in the life of our faith ancestors. Today's about pressing on. You see, all of those old stories and all of those old things that have happened are not about us going back and getting stuck in the mud again. It's about telling the greatness of God, but it's not being held up by those things again. It's also not looking back to those places where we had high points and we could say, see what I did. I want you to listen to Paul's words as he writes to the church at Philippi, starting in verse 4 of chapter 3. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow obtaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul had a lot to celebrate. Paul had an awful lot to celebrate. He basically says, I was the best of all Jews. I was born into the best family. I was raised the right way. I participated in all the rituals that were supposed to happen at the right times. I went to the best schools, and I've got the best diplomas. And by the way, I was a Pharisee, and I was the best of the best. Paul starts it out by saying, you think you can brag? Let me show you how well I can brag. You think you can brag where you've been? Let me show you how well I can. And he gives us his resume, his cover, his understanding of where he's been and where he's lived all of his life, and says, I'm the best of the best. You see, Paul's accomplishments set him high above everyone else, and he knows it. He knows it. And he's not afraid to tell it. But here's the thing. Yet Paul considers all these things as rubbish compared to the opportunity to be one with Christ. Everything that he can brag about, he considers as rubbish. It's trash. It can be thrown in the dump. Every award I've got can be thrown in the dump. Every medal I've won can be thrown in the dump. Everything that I've done in the exact right way and how I've always lived my life in the right way, Paul says, they're trash. They are utter and complete trash compared to the opportunity to be one with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says it by, he says it by a word that I've changed, because the word in our day and age doesn't mean what it used to mean for the Greeks. Paul says, I consider it all to be rubbish for the opportunity to know Christ Jesus. In our day and age, for the most part, know means K-N-O-W, okay? Know means an intellectual thing. I acknowledge it. I understand it. I know it. I can tell you about it. That's what know means in our day. Walk out on the street and ask people if they know if there's a God. Most of them will say yes. Most of them will say yes. If you ask them, do they know God? A good majority of them will say yes. Do they know God in the understanding of the Greek language that Paul wrote in? No. The majority of them do not. To know means a deep thing. It means to abide in. It means to stay in. It means to have fellowship with. It means a very, very deep thing. It doesn't mean just head knowledge. I can know about a lot of stuff. Got one thing I got to fix at home, and I'm sure somebody will give me some good advice on the between now and next week when I need to get it fixed. Actually, it should have been fixed weeks ago, but it still hasn't been done yet. Got an outside faucet that needs to be replaced. Copper piping, I know how to sweat piping, I know how to put it all together, I know how it's supposed to be done. Can I do it? Probably not. It would probably be done in such a way that once I get it done, it goes through the cinder block wall from the garage to outside. Very simple little thing. I bet by the time I get it done, John, you could come by my house. By the time I get it done, it's going to be about 4 foot out from the wall outside. And it's not going to leak, and I'm going to go, it's not leaking. I'm not trying to fix it any further than that. I know it's supposed to be flush with the wall when you get done, but nah, it's not leaking. Do I know how to do it? Yes. Do I actually know how to do it and accomplish it and get it done the way it's supposed to be done so that it works right, it looks good? No. That's what plumbers are for. I do theology, not plumbing. And I'm halfway decent at theology and really bad at plumbing. You see, that's kind of the difference I'm talking about. Do you know Christ Jesus? An intimate knowing, an in-depth knowing, an everyday knowing and walking with, really an every moment walking with. Paul says, all of these great things that I can stack up, all the things that I've done right, all the things I've accomplished in my life, all that I have done, even though it's been right and it's been great and it's been wonderful, all of that stuff is rubbish compared to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all rubbish. Except for that one thing. Just as we can't get caught in our past, in all the mud and the mire and the swamps of our life, we can't get caught in our accomplishments either. Because it's all rubbish. It all amounts to nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know, and that's why I've changed this to be, Paul considers all things as rubbish compared to the opportunity to be one with Christ. To be one with Christ. That's what's more important than anything else. And Paul says, I'm willing to let everything go. All that stuff that you've packed away in your shed, your pack house, your basement, your storage shed. Matter of fact, if it's in your basement and it's packed in a box and it's been in that box through two moves and you haven't opened the box, it's rubbish. Most likely it's complete rubbish. If you've moved twice and you haven't opened that box up and haven't found a need for anything in that box, it's time to just pitch it. Don't even open the box, pitch the whole box. Amen? We need to look at our lives that way. Those things that we hold on to, those things that we treasure in, they're rubbish compared to being one, knowing Jesus Christ in a personal, intimate, daily relationship. Rubbish. All of it. Rubbish. Paul says, I can brag better than all of you, but it's not worth a hoot. It's not worth a hoot in comparison. And Paul even realizes one step further. Paul realizes he still has room to grow spiritually and will always have room to grow. You see, his knowledge and his intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is not something that's a status quo. It's something that's growing. It's something that's powerful. It's something that's moving forward. If you don't know Jesus Christ any better than you did 5 years ago, or even 1 year ago, your relationship with Jesus Christ is not growing. And it's not strong. If you have not grown spiritually in the last 5 years, even 1 year, it's not growing. And Paul realizes, even though, as he says, he's been to the best schools, he was the best Pharisee of Pharisees, he was the best. He realizes that knowing Jesus Christ is an ongoing, continuing process that never stops. You've heard me talk about this before, and why do I talk about it? Because people join the church and they decide that's all they got to do. And they're good to go for all eternity. And that's so wrong. I mean, can you imagine Paul, who was a Pharisee and went to the very best schools of his day, probably knew the Hebrew Bible inside and out and could quote major sections of it. Knew the commandments of God backwards and forwards and all the extra commandments that the Pharisees had added to those commandments to make sure you could keep the commandments of God. And Paul says, there's still room to grow. He says, I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't gotten there yet. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on. It's not giving God extra time at the end of the day that you find to say, hey, God, let's sit down and talk. It's making time for God and saying, I'm going to spend time with God before I do everything else. That's what I'm talking about. It's not like, you know, I've got some extra time this week and the pastor suggested that we read this passage before Sunday worship. I got a few extra minutes tonight. I'll read it. It's sitting down and saying, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to make time for it. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to study my Bible. And I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And I'm going to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let God talk to me during my prayer time. It's an ongoing, growing thing. And Paul knows that he has much opportunity to grow spiritually. Much. I mean, if nothing else, think about his life. He goes to the best schools. He thinks he knows God's word inside and out in such a way that he considers anyone who believes in Jesus Christ a heretic, and he gets permission from the high priest to go to Damascus and arrest anyone that he finds who believes in Jesus Christ. And in the process of doing that, God wakes him up and says, Paul, you don't understand. You see, when we think we've arrived, we've put God in a box. And I find that God always appears outside my box, causing me to build a bigger box to contain God, because this is where I find God now. And God appears outside the box again. If your box doesn't grow, your relationship with God doesn't grow either. Matter of fact, your relationship with God is not growing properly until you completely destroy the box and decide you're not going to build another one. Paul realizes he has more room for growth, and that will always be the case. So now Paul strains towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He strains toward it. He reaches toward it. He stretches toward it. Paul strains toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You guys know that in the past 3 years, I've become a runner. And yes, a lot of my illustrations come from there because that's where I'm learning. I found that I can do more than I think I can do when it comes to running. When I'm ready to give up, there is more left. Maybe not that day, but maybe the next day. Or maybe the next week. There's more room to grow. There's more room to stretch. There's more room to reach out. My wife and I are working on finishing the basement off in some ways. And over half the space is becoming a gym. My kids have one thing to say. What'd you do with my dad? Because they don't know the dad they find when they come to the mountains now. But here's what I want to tell you. Stretching and reaching physically has caused me to stretch and reach spiritually because I can do more spiritually than I limit myself to. And all of us limit ourselves. And we decide that that's all the further I can go, and I'm not going to stretch any further. If you don't believe me, I can only just bring up one example. I've recommended to you time and time again, it would be good to memorize some scriptures. And guess what I get to hear time and time again? Pastor, I'm too old for that. I can't do that. You just limited yourself spiritually. Pastor, I can't read the Bible. It's too hard to understand. You just limited yourself spiritually. You can go further than that. That's what I've learned by running. I can go further. And I know some of you told me I've run too far and too much. Well, guess what? I ain't done yet. Even if there's aches and hurts and pain, I ain't done yet. Because I'm going to do some more. Got a goal right now set, and I'm going to make it. If not, one of you gets to come alongside the road and pick me up and drive me back home, okay? I'll tell you when I get ready to do it, but I'm going to do it. Spiritually, do you have that kind of attitude? Paul says, I have that attitude. I am straining toward it. I am pushing toward it. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I am going to go in that direction, and I'm going to do everything I've got, Paul says. Everything I've got. Is that how you treat your spiritual life? Or do you treat your spiritual life as, well, that's enough for right now. That's enough for the next few months. I've pressed myself a little bit further than I ever have before. And I don't need to do much for six more months. Are you going to be satisfied with that? Remember what I talked about. Paul says all this stuff's rubbish. For the incredible benefit of knowing Jesus Christ, being one with Jesus Christ, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where I'm going to put my time and effort. Are you going to stretch there? Can you make the goal of just memorizing one scripture before the end of this year? One verse? Can you stretch that far? Can you stretch far enough to make a commitment that you're going to study one book of the Bible? Just one. You can even pick one of the books that's only got three chapters. How about that? The incredible benefits of spending time just with it. I keep spending more and more time in the book of Philippians this year. More and more personally. And God's been teaching me incredible things there. Are you willing to strain toward that? Are you willing to stretch toward that? You see, Christians today need to develop the same attitude of straining toward God's calling for them and their community. Most people I meet that go to church, they're just happy going to church. And that's it. They're not looking to do anything else. Just go to church. Oh, that charges my batteries for the week. Do you realize there's so much more? Do you realize that you're missing out on incredible things if that's what you're thinking? Just to go to church? And see, there's too many Christians that way. And I'm willing to say that's why the world is the way it is. Because Christians aren't straining, stretching, pressing on toward being the person that God wants them to be. They've decided they can't stretch any further. They've decided they're too old to take part in the kingdom of God. They've decided that's beyond me, education-wise. I can't do it. I've told you the story about Mason before. The guy that couldn't even read and he could not sign his name. He knew more about God than I think I ever will get a chance to. He had so many scriptures memorized and placed within his heart because his wife would read him the scriptures over and over again. She could read. And he would meditate on those scriptures to try to understand God better. Mason was a person that knew Christ Jesus and was one with Christ Jesus. And had a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Christ Jesus. When I met him, he was in his 80s and couldn't hear worth a lick. Had to stand at his ear and yell at him. But he knew God. And he wasn't satisfied with not knowing more about God each day. Every day he wanted to learn something more about God. If nothing else, a man that can't read or write and never finished school had that desire to press on towards the goal of the call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. How can I say I'm not going to do it or I can't do it? You see, people join church and they feel like that's all they've got to do. Maybe I'll read my Bible every once in a while. If I get a chance, I'll study my Sunday school. I'll read my Sunday school lesson before Sunday school class. Folks, that's not knowing Christ Jesus. Are you willing to strain and stretch towards that? My goal for running right now is to get back to half marathon status. And whether they have the race or not in January, I'm planning on running up Sand Mountain and back down for the half marathon that they have here in January. Maybe I won't make it by January, but I'm going to stretch towards that. If I can only get halfway up the mountain and that's it, I'll be excited about that. But that's my goal. To run up to the top of Sand Mountain and come back down to town. What's your goal spiritually? Do you even have one? Are you working on your relationship with Christ Jesus every day? Do you know that God has called you to be a bigger part of the kingdom of God? Oftentimes we talk about calling, people being called into the ministry, people calling to be pastors, people calling to be education, people calling to be music people within the vocation of the church. God is calling you. It may not be to vocational ministry, but God is calling you into ministry. Are you stretching and straining towards the calling that God has for you? Do you have a spiritual goal? I've got a running goal, and I've told you. Now if I don't make it, I'll look pretty foolish, won't I? Because I done told you about it. And about 4 months from now, somebody's going to ask me about it. Pastor, did you do it? Do you have a spiritual goal for your relationship with Jesus Christ? And are you straining and stretching and pressing on toward that goal? That's what this message is about today. God doesn't need people sitting in the pews. God needs people growing in relationship with Jesus Christ. I can find people to sit in the pews. God needs people growing in their relationship. Are you growing? Are you stretching toward it? Are you straining toward it? So let me leave you with this question. Are you willing to let go of past accomplishments, stumbles, and hurts to stretch toward the upward call of God? Are you willing to let go of past accomplishments, stumbles, and hurts to stretch toward the upward call of God? Are you willing? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul. Thank you for his willingness to brag a bit and then to acknowledge that it's all trash and that there's only one thing worth spending time with, putting your energy into, and scheduling on your calendar. And that's having a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I first pray for all of those who will hear this message who have not taken that first step. They don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that you will nudge at their hearts until they make that decision. And then I pray, Lord, for all of those who already know you, that you will nudge at their hearts, that you will poke them, that you will prod them, that you will come up alongside of them and just tap them on the shoulder and say, it's time to grow. It's time to move forward. It's time to stretch out. There's no longer a time to wait. Now's the time to set a goal and to work towards that goal of the calling that God has upon each and every one of our lives. So, Lord, I pray that those who hear Paul's story about stretching forward, about straining, about pressing onward, will not be let go until they start moving forward. Touch hearts in a way that won't keep people still, and that they will find a way to grow in their relationship with the Son that you sent because he loves us so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.